Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Amen. He doesn't sound like he was cutting tree limbs today for the church, does he? Amen. I thank God for people that will serve in all different areas of ministry. Amen. And sometimes we don't know. I do want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Proverbs. We'll continue our Bible study there. I just been given testimony. The Lord has just given. He's a good God, and if we give our lives to Him, He'll lead us, won't He? Amen. And I just could see the providential hand of God on so many things that have happened just in the first few days of this week. Not just in the midst of the work and people that while you're busy doing the things that you got to do to make everything work, God will bring people along your way that you can share the gospel with. I just wanted to share one as you guys turn to Proverbs chapter 17 tonight, and I'll make the transition here. But, you know, the preacher came in town that I wasn't expecting, and I didn't even get to see him here Sunday morning, and he let me know he was coming, but I didn't get to talk with him on Sunday morning just because of the busyness of things going on. And he called and said that he was in town, and I met him for lunch, and we went to lunch, and I felt like, you know, it was kind of late, and I just saw the providential hand of God. And the boys that, one of them that just sang was there at lunch with me, and I sent them on to Lowe's to get some things, and we just stayed there and talked about some things. And while we were talking about the church, another couple had come and made their way in and sat down where our boys that had worked on maintenance with us that day, they came and sat down with me and sat down beside us, and they stopped me in mid-conversation and said, "Are you all from Landmark?" I said, "Well, absolutely we are." And he said, "Well, we're from Miami." And he said, "We know Scott Burt." And and I went, "Oh, no." I didn't know how that was going to go, you know. And he just was talking about how good he had grown up in the school down there where Brother Burt was a principal before, and had a great testimony. His in-laws came and sat with him, and they're moving into the area. They're there. They're here looking at, I guess, a house that's being built for them, and their parents are looking for something. And they told me the ladies in our front office, we've already talked to them and when the right time to enroll in the school is, and just, you know, they said, "And we're also looking at the church." And I said, "Well," and we talked with them for a little while, and just was a sweet time. But again, had we not taken time to be together at the time and do, you know, what I felt like the Lord was, you know, sometimes I get in a hurry and I want to go here and I want to go there and do those things. But sometimes we just got to just allow the Lord to direct us. And even in the last chapter that we were in 16, it talks about how the Lord will direct our steps if we allow Him to prepare our heart. And oftentimes we don't see that, but sometimes God lets us see the providential hand and how He walked each step along and put us right in the right place where we needed to be, the right kind of witness at the time we needed to be. Sometimes we think everybody's got to be the preacher or everybody's got to be this. No, we just got to have our hearts prepared to serve the Lord and be willing to speak up when He puts us in the right place at the right time. Amen. I hope your Bibles are there. Let's look back, if you would, at the first verse in chapter 16. Again, the chapter 15, as we had looked at it before, just trying to bring you up to speed so that my mindset, well, a lot of times when we look at the book of Proverbs, as we said before, it's written by Solomon under the inspiration of God to his son. He's trying to invoke wisdom. He wants him to be a wise ruler, but it's a book of wisdom. It's a book that can make us wise if we'll let it get in us and work through us. And so there's much to be said in the book, but kind of not going back all the way. But in chapter 15, it talked about and gave us a guided message to get right thoughts. And then it began to talk to us or speak to us. If I can just give you a quick review to bring you up to speed. And it talked about how we talked about in our study how the thoughts are generated from our heart. All right. And our thoughts produce actions and words in our lives. And then when we got into chapter 16, we're going to find and look at the first verse with me again in the chapter. It says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." And we go through the chapter and we're going to see so much more. But even in verse 2, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." And we spoke much about how a right preparation of the heart is going to generate not only thoughts, but thoughts are ruled by the spirit that a man lives in. So if I let the Word of God get my spirit right, and I walk in the Spirit with the Holy Ghost of God, and my spirit is not this, we said it the other day. Let me just put you in the right idea. If I watch the news too much, it will put me in a wrong spirit. All right? And so it doesn't mean that I don't need to be informed, but I got to be careful how much I let things affect me, because it can affect my spirit, and my spirit will affect my thoughts, and my spirit will affect my actions and my speech. And so I've got to be careful how I prepare my heart. Now, in children, we have a preparation of the heart in them. We're bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I couldn't help but think how proud Brother Jeremiah, as a young adult man, how proud his parents have to be of him. I remember when he was scared to death to sing when he came to Bible college here. Amen. And I know for them to watch him sing, and he's a very confident singer now and a good singer. And I thought to myself while he was singing, how proud his parents must be, because there were preparations made inside his heart, and they built desires to do things. God prepared him to do things like that. God gave him that voice. But again, that didn't just happen overnight. There had to be preparations. It's not easy standing up and looking at you folks and sing. Even though you think it's easy, it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to do all the things that we think, well, they're right things, we just need to do them. It's not that easy, is it? There has to be preparation. There has to have a spirit that controls my fear, a spirit that will control my actions to move forward in the area of doing right. My thoughts, then makes the right words. Even the song that he chose for tonight, I believe, was ordained of the Lord. But I think for yourselves and each one of you, even in the choice of that needs to be direct. That spirit, the right thought, the right action, the right choices in God's word. Now, in chapter 17, he makes all this preparations of the spirit, and we made that transition, and we talked about this last time. So I don't want to be bogged down in chapter 16, but I want you to, I just want to say it again for those of you that maybe would want to write it down. The preparations of the heart give a right spirit. They leads to right thoughts, leads to the right words that will come out of us, and the right actions. Now, chapter 17 is going to be, it's going to show us, or Solomon is writing to his son under the inspiration of God for him and for us, to show us what will happen when there is no preparation. All right? He's going to make statements and show how words and where our spirit and our words can lead us when there's no preparation of the heart. He's going to, in verses 1 through 11, he's going to show how it affects our words. Oftentimes, we've talked about words so many, you know, we say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I've quoted that before on Wednesday night, just like this. That is not true. Every one of us know that. Many of us would rather have been hit with a stick or a stone than someone say something that we can't let go of, something that we carried on and on and on through our lives. And again, even for those of us, sometimes we may have said something that we can never catch up with, and we can never take it back. We can ask forgiveness for it, but we can never roll it back. We can never tie it down. And sometimes, you know, there's the story of the man that said, you know, when we go telling lies about somebody, he shook that bag of feathers out and said, go get all the feathers. And again, you know, you can't ever get them all back, folks. You can't ever chase them all down. You can never make it absolutely right. You can get it under the blood and get it forgiven from the person, but you're never going to run down all the things that were said. So it's so important that at our young lives or our young Christian lives, no matter where we are in this life, we are not so old that we can't let the Word of God transform us by the renewing of our mind and let it purge our hearts, the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit in a man, working inside us to let the Word of God transform us into who God wants us to be, to who I want to be. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. All right, Peter, he was one of the disciples that God chose, but he had to work on this, didn't he? He consistently was someone who would jump ahead, and you could tell his thoughts weren't matching up with the words, and he had to get closer and closer and walk and get the Spirit of God in him before he got to a place where his words and his actions oftentimes pleased the Lord. And it's true for every believer. Here in chapter 17, the Word of God is going to tell us some things. Look at verse number 1. We'll try to power through verses 1 through 11 because I want to spend some time. But before we read those, everything that I just said, look at verse 16. Really the key verse with everything that's been said from chapter 15 and chapter 16. Verse 16 in the chapter says, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" He, right in the middle of the chapter, he binds everything up. This fool is someone who believes that there is no God. Now, you don't always have to come out and say, to be branded a fool by someone, you don't have to come right out and go, "There is no God." You just have to be someone who acts like there is no God. Like there is no, and again, even the word froward in this chapter that will be used is perverse in its, I mean, in a simple definition, but it really just means someone who's disobedient, who will not yield, who will not come really to the place where they will come under the fear of the Lord. And you don't have to be a fool in your belief or theology to act the fool. I've seen too many people who would profess that they are a Christian, but act in a way that would scream that they are a fool. I've heard them speak that way. I've heard them act that way. But they are professing that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. But their speech and their actions betray them. Amen. And as a believer, we are not supposed to judge one another. We judge fruit. All right? Because we really don't produce fruit. Again, we don't measure it that way. The thing that is the measuring of a Christian is the Spirit of God in them. That's what they get when they get saved, and he should be producing fruit. Love, joy, peace, all those things should be shown up in the Christian's life. And so if I'm going to measure, if I'm going to know, if I'm going to look at you and say, "Man, I can tell they're saved," or my spirit witnesses with their spirit, it's because we're the same kind of tree, producing the same kind of fruit, and God planted us in the same field. So I can tell you're a fruit tree too, not just fruity.
Right.
Amen? Hey folks, as we look at this, that's kind of the nutshell. But it all is born in verse 16, seeing they hath no heart to it. There are some folks, we don't often think about this. We think if we just pound the right thing, if we just pound truth and pound truth and pound truth, we desperately need to get the generation that's not only that is alive and that remains right now, we need to get their heart. Their heart is the heart of the situation. Even if we tell them everything that's right and they don't have any heart for it, they're not going to absorb it. The Bible's going to talk about even reproof, giving reproof. We think, okay, we're going to give judgment here and teach them a lesson so that they learn from their mistakes. But it's only going to be a wise man that's going to hear reproof and take those stripes. It's only going to be somebody who's going to take it to heart that's really going to walk the way God wants them to walk, even after they've been given all these things. And so he's going to say much about this, but in verse number 1, he says, "Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifice with strife." He's just going to tell us, and he's going to go through this. How is it that that's speaking about words or preacher? There's no preparation. He's just giving us some contrast. And again, Solomon had a lot of wives, and he was saying that He gives us a bit of wisdom here in chapter 17 in that first verse. He's like, it's better to eat some dry bread in a quiet place, amen, than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Here, I don't believe he's writing in an area saying that it's full of sacrifices to all kinds of gods. But here he's just saying, listen, there are a lot of people. And I think this is probably a profound thing. I'm picking a little fun there at the beginning, but I hope you can come back and hear the seriousness of this. There are a lot of people who come here, go to church here, or have through the years that hear the preaching and will say amen to one thing, but they practice totally different than what is preached from this pulpit. Okay? That is suicide for your family. All right? Because the scripture is saying here, you're there's strife at home and you don't know why. There's turmoil in your home. And it's because you're making many sacrifices to be at church and to be at all the things, but then you discount the things that the preacher says. Or you discount the things that they stand for. Where they draw the line, you don't draw the line there. And for a young person in the home, then where are the real lines? Where am I really supposed to walk, preacher? Where am I really supposed to live? Where am I really supposed to live, mom? Where am I really supposed to live, dad? No man can serve two masters. And whether you think, and again, I hope you can grab this and take it home. I may have already made you so mad you won't hear the rest of it. But this preacher and the preacher before me and any preacher worth his salt is following the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's not the master. He's reading from the book of truth and preaching the book. And so if you're going to follow, you're not following him. You're following him as he follows Christ. And so to deviate from that path that he preaches and he walks as a church and leads the ministry in, then you're deviating away from Christ, not him. And too many times people rationalize. In the last chapter said it very easily that a man's ways are clean in his own eyes. We can rationalize it away. That's just that preacher. Or this type or this sect of preachers in independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches, there are people all over the board. I caution you as parents, grandparents, and believers, that we need to be of one mind. And that mind is the mind of Christ. We need to walk. I don't want to go after, because I believe the Holy Spirit of God is already convicting hearts, but I don't want to get down where the rubber meets the road with you. I just want you to understand 100% that you can't have your way. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You will live with your things that you desperately want to hold on to from the world, and it will ruin your family, and you did everything else right. Full of sacrifices. I gave up everything but this for the Lord. And that one thing tipped the scales in the wrong direction. You say, preacher, I did. That's what got your kid's heart. They saw that God did not have your whole heart. You kept back something for you. And I know that sounds like, oh man, it's just too much sacrifice. I promise you this, God knows who you are. If you would give that thing, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about right now. I mean, we're going into a brand new year. Wouldn't it be a good time to really just give it all to God? Amen. The one thing you've been holding back your whole Christian life. Wouldn't it be a transformation of your family if you're 99% in? Your family would see the difference when it went to 100. Your family would know the one thing that you've been keeping for you. And it would change not only you, but it would change your family if you would go all in for the work of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Too many times, the one thing we hold back is the one thing our kids hold on to. And we may, I'm not talking about hold against us. They hold it against God. Yeah. They love you and know that you have faults. They won't hold it against you. They hold it against the church. They hold it against the pastor. They hold it against God. And too many times, they become professing Christians, but they act like fools. The Bible goes on, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and shall have no part of the inheritance among the brethren. The scripture is just letting us know that sometimes we think just because our dad and mom or they've got a position, that doesn't mean it's going to be given to you. A wise servant, a hard worker, will earn that inheritance. And he's talking about, and I think even, remember the context, Solomon here is saying to his son, you may be in line for the throne, but if you act a fool, it could be given to the wisest servant in the house. If you go off on your own tangent, God can give it over to somebody else. Verse 3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth hearts. He's just going through. If you've never seen metal melt down and watched that, there's always a dross that comes up to the top of it. When you melt things down, even a necklace, if we gathered all the ladies' necklaces out of here and earrings and we melted that gold down, I don't know how much we'd have, amen? Maybe not a lot, but there would be impurities that would come to the top as you melted it down. And one of the things that God is good about, when we keep our kids in the right refining pot of the Lord Jesus Christ, His church, it may seem, man, I thought we were coming to church to have something encouraging. It is encouraging. Amen. If we'd give it all to God, man, it would be so right, wouldn't it? And when God starts melting the thing down, instead of getting out, stay in and skim off the dross. And let God look at the heart of the situation. Because usually when you let God try your heart, that's what He's saying. It's just like me melting you down and letting that one thing that's left in there will float to the top. And I can skim it off. I can even, you know, even the man who's working the metal really doesn't know what part of that gold or whose necklace had the impurities in it until he melted it all down. And when he melted it down, it floated to the top. Made it revealed. He put himself in the master's hands and let him work the metal. Amen. And so many times in our own lives, it's staying in the book, staying in church, staying in the place that God wants us, and it'll bring the thing. We may not even be able to put our finger on it all the time, but when one time God will reveal it to us and let the dross float to the top, and that is when we need to capitalize on it and skim it off and get it out. You know, because I've noticed this, you know, when you skim off the dross, if you've ever been around any kind of metal like that, if you let it boil a little bit longer, something else will float to the top. And you skim that off too. And that's most of the time in the Christian life, if you really want to walk close to God, you stay close to Him and let Him try your heart. You stay in that melting pot and we'll let Him float that dross to the top and you skim it off. Skim it off. You don't let it get thick and solid and keep it there. You skim it off. You keep skimming it off as it comes to the top. The Bible's gonna tell us about a wicked doer in verse 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Most of this is all dealing with words and actions and in this first 11 verses. And here we see a wicked doer, and all this action is really giving to what happens with the mouth. So look at the verse again. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. That means if I give myself to wicked deeds, then people are going to be able to tell me false things and I'm going to fall for it. And you say, I don't know about that. I'm pretty smart. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and the Bible's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you let yourself get after the things of wicked deeds, somehow you're going to get naive to the place that people are going to take you. There's always going to be somebody out there a little smarter than you are, and they'll get you along the way. And he says, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So somebody that's going to be a liar and has said, you know, is going to, you know, you say, well, all men are liars. But this is talking about someone who is a consistent liar and stays in it. Then he's going to be giving heed to the wicked doer. He said, come over here and let's go do this. You say, well, who's prone to give in to the crowd? Probably a liar, according to the scripture. You know, you say, well, what's it take to be a leader? Well, one of it is don't lie. The person that's getting caught up in the peer pressure all the time, he's probably got a problem with lying too, according to the scripture. So how do I start? How do I get past that, preacher? Stop the lying. Amen. Come clean with yourself and with God and say, I ain't going to do that anymore. And maybe you'll be able, if you can stand up for yourself when and not telling stories, maybe you can stand up to the crowd. God will give me strength in this area too. And so the Bible's got so much to say about just how God deals with us. Whoso mocketh the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Do you know there are a lot of people here that this is something that you just happened by. But you know, in our world, if the current political situation continues, and I hope that we can vote different in the next one. But, you know, well, I don't know. I'm not sure the voting is what did it this last time. But anyway, if we could get there's going to be a lot more poor folks than we've seen in a long time. If we continue on this track, it's going to widen the gap. Middle class is going to disappear. All right? And there are going to be people on each end of this thing. And God says, you know, as a man of God or as a person that loves the Lord, we're not supposed to mock the poor. We don't go down the street and look at tent cities and look at all these bums. Why don't they just get a job? That's a wrong spirit. Amen. You don't know their situation.
That's right.
You don't know what brought them to that place. And again, I can tell you there's a lot of people that chose that life, but there's probably somebody in that camp that didn't. And for us, I don't want to be a reproach. I don't want to mock at the poor to reproach my maker. I realize God looks down on those folks. And what should you do? With that many people gather in one area, that'd be a good place for street preaching, wouldn't it? That'd be a good place. One of our missionaries, Hawaii. We don't think of Hawaii as being one of those places, but they have tent cities as well. He said, well, he didn't have much of a church. A church is people, folks, not buildings. So they had a little picnic area where they gathered people together every Sunday, and people would come out of the tent city. He said, well, that ain't a church. It's got to have buildings and lights and all that. No, that's just bills.
Amen.
The people showed up in the picnic table, at the picnic tables every time that they met. And if you know Baptist history, most of them in America got started out in a field. We're going to meet at that tree by a rock at this time of day in the field. And he'd raise up his voice, and they'd sing, and he'd preach. Thank God that God gave us a place to meet and a place to serve him. And because of the buildings and the things that God's given us, it's given us an opportunity for people to come in and meet here and want to be here that are lost, not just the saved coming to meet together. We get to preach to lost people because he gave us a building. But that's not the church. The church is the people that come together. And so I don't want to come to a place where I'm going to reproach my maker by making fun of everybody that don't have what I got. I don't want to be that reproach. And he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. There are people, and I would say they lean to the foolish side, that would, you know, somebody falls down, their first reaction is to laugh instead of run to help somebody. And again, that is all born out of our heart. And if you're on a job site and your friend trips and falls over, if you don't make sure he's right before you begin to laugh and those things, and I'm not trying to, you know, I know sometimes you can see that they're not hurt and it is a funny thing. I'm just saying, if your first instinct throughout your life is to laugh at folks like that, we should have concern first.
Amen.
And then if they're laughing, we can laugh together. But that's what the Bible's talking about here. And he goes on, children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their and the glory of children are their fathers. And so as we go through this, we see here, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time because I'm going to be a grandparent and I could really go off on this one. And everybody's been telling me, I've been talking a lot about it. So I'll slow down here just a second and say, children's children are the crown of old men. Just because I've heard a lot of this in my past, I used to run a bus route. I used to go soul winning. I used to do this and I used to do that. Now, there are folks that physically their role in the church has to change. But sometimes those are people that I'm visiting that aren't going to church anymore, telling me what they used to do. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, I don't want to be a used to two grandpa. I want to be, grandpa, you still run a bus route? Uh-huh. Grandpa, you still go soul winning? Uh-huh. Grandpa, I just want you to know that it doesn't stop when you're the parent. You don't get to stop the Christian life. You keep living it. If it was ever right to do, it's still right to do. If it was something I should have given God in the past, I keep giving it to him. It isn't mine to begin with. It's all his. My life is hid with his. I'm his. I'm bought with a price. Folks, I just want you to understand tonight that here, when we talk about children's children or the crown of old men, you're not going to put that crown on if you just stayed right while your kids were young and you raised them and then you decided to let up. You're going to find it. You're going to see it in your grandkids. Stay the course. Reaping and sowing is still in the book. And God is always going to stick with the book. And the glory of children are their fathers. I don't know about you, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but when I was a boy, You know, my dad was not the biggest guy. My dad's, you know, not even my height. But my dad was tough. Nobody could beat my dad. You know how you talk? My dad will beat your dad up. You know, on the playground. You know how it was? I mean, my dad was my glory. My dad could fix anything. If it was broke and it can't be fixed, my dad could fix it. I was proud of him. I was proud to walk in. People could see the way I walked. I walked into my dad's work. I'd never been. It was a place he had started work, and I had never been before. I'd been at Bible college. I come back there, and the guy goes, "You're Rex Parsons' son, aren't you?" I said, "How did you know that?" "Because I'm way bigger than he is. He's a small man." And they said, "I could tell by the way you walk. You walk just like him." Hey, folks, you know, we talk about DNA, but you know what I want my children to have? I want my children to have spiritual DNA. You know, at Christmas time, somebody gave me it's like a thing to go on yourself that says amen, because I say that a lot.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. I like him. Anyway, that amen, you know, I thought to myself, I do say that a lot, but some people are accused. There's other symbols that I wouldn't want to hang up in my house that other people could be guilty of saying. The word amen says, let it be so. I want to be somebody that my grandkids can copy. They can take the words that I say. I want them to be able to copy my spirit. I want them to be able to copy my work ethic. I want them to be able to copy the things in my life and see those things. I had grandparents like that. I had people in my life, I wanted to copy their marriage. I wanted to copy their mannerisms. I wanted to copy their soul winning. My grandfather had the same soul winning partner for 20 some years. And they went week after week after week and won people to Christ. I thought that was the greatest thing. I thought you couldn't be a good Christian if you weren't like my grandfather. I'm just telling you, that's what I grew up. And that's the desires that he put in me because of how he practiced his Christian life. He says, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is as precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. The scripture is going to give us all these things. From verse 7 all the way to verse 12 that we find here, we're going to see all between those. He begins with excellent speech, and he ends with the evil man. And he seeketh only rebellion. He's going to make contrast. The book teaches us in contrast, as we've said over and over again. So all these verses, he begins giving us a picture of that preparation in the heart and what happens when you don't get it. You're not going to have these things right. And he's saying, but when preparation is right, the children's children, why am I going to do right? I'm going to do right today because it's right to do for the glory of God. But down the road, my children, I'm going to be their glory as I walk right and do right, and I can be praised by other people for doing right. And they're going to say, man, that's my dad. And then when I get to be a granddad, the children's children, they're going to be my crown in my old age. Look at them. Look at them doing right. Look at them walking right. Look at them following the Lord. Amen. Praising the Lord for those things. And then we get into this excellent speech, becometh not a fool. Why? Because much less do lying princes. These words here talking about the lips of a man. An excellent speech is something that we ought, I mean, when we get around somebody, when your spirit's right, does that person lift you up, encourage you to be a Christian, or does that conversation or that interaction pull you down, make you want to run away and quit the Christian life, or does the conversation go, man, I'm glad. I can't, you know, I've been trying to talk to everybody I could. It's the providence of God. I picked up a brother from our church here today from the airport, and I couldn't wait to tell him about the providence of God in Monday and Tuesday of my life. And God brought this person out. God brought this person. I was driving down the street. I forgot all about this, and bam, there they were. And I was like, praise the Lord. Amen. I want to be guilty of excellent speech when I'm around people. I want people to think when they leave me, man, that was excellent speech. Not an excellent speech that he gave, but man, that was everything that came out was encouraging to me. Man, I feel encouraged. I feel charged up. I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. I think we ought to go soul winning right now. I want me some providence of God in my life. Amen?
Amen.
I just think that as a church and as a believer, I don't want to be guilty of being around somebody and dragging them down. I don't want to be a wet blanket Christian. I don't want to be marked, as he says here, it's not becoming a fool. That means I want to be somebody who's wise. I want to be marked as wise, not marked as someone as a fool. The scripture here, through this chapter, you're going to find the word fool 8 times in these 28 verses. Quickly going over and over and over again, because the Bible's teaching in contrast. He's saying when you don't prepare your heart, the person, there's only about 3 times, several different exchanges, but he uses the word wisdom twice in this chapter. And 3 times you see wise servant, a wise man, and I think later on it uses the word wise, but not for a person, but just in contrast to the fool. And so you find much less wisdom when you don't prepare your heart. You find people turning out to be fools, turn them out acting the fool. As a Christian, look at the end of the chapter with me and we'll finish tonight. He says, wisdom is before him. In verse 24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You say, preacher, what in the world do I do until I get a handle on this? Keep your trap shut. Until you can get your spirit right on the inside, just try to not talk when you're around other people. If while I'm preaching, you feel, man, what do I do? Every time I talk to somebody, all that comes out is I tell them all my problems and I drag them down and I don't make anybody feel any better. I feel worse because I've dumped on them and they feel bad. Then just don't say nothing. The Bible says even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise.
Man.
Too many times in this life, we unzip our lip when it ought to stay zipped.
Amen.
Hey, folks, tonight, you know, as a Christian, as we're growing, sometimes there's things we can add, and there's sometimes the best thing we can do is listen. And at the end of the conversation, you didn't know what to say. But the person that told you all their problems, they feel better when they leave. And you didn't say anything. You just sat there. And they say, you're so wise. Thank you for your help. And I'm thinking, I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. And then I thought to myself, you know, that makes the Bible true, doesn't it? He counted me as wise, and all I did was allow them to talk it through with themselves in the Spirit of God. I just happened to be the sounding board. Hey, folks, in the Christian life, sometimes when we're trying to prepare our heart, we've got to take time to do that. It doesn't happen overnight. It isn't like you're going to change from being foolish to wise overnight. You got to soak up the scripture and be in church a while. But while you're growing, let people think that you're wise.
Amen.
Amen. Excellent speech can come to anybody. God will give wisdom to every believer in this room if we ask him for it. Sometimes we have to ask him and then let him give it to us. But along the way, the best thing we can do in the starting blocks is be the listener. Amen. Listen, tonight as we head towards a new year, we want you to come. I hope this isn't the last time we see you for the year. Amen. But as we head to the new year, I invite you to be back with us. We're going to pray in the new year, but we'll close in prayer tonight. I thank everybody. Listen, I don't know about you, but if you can't take any excitement home with you tonight, that gauge right there, that's big time.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times we've been doing that for so many years, sometimes it gets old to us. But that is a big deal. That's not just a big deal for us, but that's a big deal for a lot of missionaries. Amen. That's a big deal for souls coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the study that we've been doing in Proverbs. Lord, help us to follow the scripture. Help us to not only know the words of the wise, but Lord, help us put them into practice. And Lord, if we don't know them yet, help us to be quiet, Lord, and be counted wise. Lord, help us to walk with you, not just for our own sake and for our own good, but for our children and our children's children. Help us, God, to walk close to you. Help us, Lord, as a church to come back to this place and to bring in the new year in a time of fellowship and of prayer unto you. Thank you for all you've done, Lord, in 2021. I thank you for the blessings of our church, the souls that were saved. Help us now. Give us safety as we've returned to our homes and our places tonight. And God, just bless us. Give us your words and your way and your providence in the next few days to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a bus captain or you're a bus worker and you need to get those flyers, don't forget them. The kids, even though it's a new year, they still expect you to come by. Amen. Have a great night.